Hey, this is Thursday, September 29th, and this is our last Thursday class. So we're going to be moving to Monday, October 3rd. Mondays in October
3rd.
And so Monday, October 3rd will be our next class after this. So here we are with Back to the Basics.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. The idea here is that we're always becoming God, that we're moving towards that. This week I was rooting through my desk drawer, and you know I love 3x5 cards, and I found this. And I've decided if I'm going to do these 3x5 cards, I've got to put dates on them and where I find these things, because I find this and I have no idea where. And this says, people are so busy trying to become God that they ought to realize that we are already God, and God is becoming us. So that's a good one to remember. It works in both directions. If you're becoming God, God's becoming you. There's only God out there to do anything. So God has to work in as and through you. Always. Always that. So that's what this teaching is all about, and that's how I teach this teaching. And this month we were talking back to basics and so forth, and we wanted to know what metaphysics was, and metaphysics is just beyond the physical. It's the idea that all things seen come from things that are not seen. And then we talked about the mental concepts and so forth, that we need a combined mental concept. If you want to bring something into your life, you must have a consciousness that, if you want a prosperity consciousness, it must remain a prosperity consciousness. People treat for prosperity, but they have a lack and limitation consciousness. It will not work. If you want to maintain your health, you must always be thinking health, and you must make that your whole thing. But we go back and forth with this. So it's a combined mental attitude that makes things manifest in your life. That's that whole idea that in the mental equivalent with Emmett Fox, who said, you know, if you put in front of a camera, if you put a bunch of flowers and you keep moving it and then put something else and then something else and then something else and then something else, you're just going to get a blur. But if you hold the flowers there long enough for it to register on the film of the camera, you're going to get a beautiful picture. And that's what it is with this manifesting thing. You have to hold it long enough so that it will manifest. We do not hold things in our mind. We get distracted. The world pulls us this way. It pulls us that way. Our own mind pulls us. We usually negate something. If we don't get it right away, we negate it. And we use words in our vocabulary which negate things, because we say, I hope this will happen, or I think this will happen, instead of you must know. And this word hope will get you absolutely nowhere. It's just a loophole that your mind gives you so that you can feel good about yourself. Well, I hoped it would happen, but it didn't. You have to know that things are going to happen. And then I told you about being home with my brother and talking about different things, and he's about God and so forth, and he said, don't be so sure about yourself. You must be sure about yourself. You must be sure about this teaching. You must be sure that there is something going on out there that's bigger than you are, that's operating in as and through you, and that you can use that power for good. Now, this whole thing about a mental attitude and so forth is the idea that there is only good. There is only good. Regardless of what the appearance is, there's only good. And you have to take that everything and find the good in it. You have to find good in everything. Now, I often use the idea of choice. You look over this way, and you see a garden. Now it's your choice. Do you want to look at the garden, or do you want to look over here at this garbage? But now, with that garbage, you have to realize that there's good in that garbage. because when that breaks down and so forth, it goes back into the soil and it produces a garden, it produces the flowers. So when anything is out there, that appearance, oh, this is just garbage, or this is never going to work, or this is whatever's going on, you have to look at it differently, and you have to see it differently, and you have to see the good in it. You have to see the good in it. Years ago when I lived in upstate New York in Utica, I lived with an Italian family, the Gooches. And Mrs. Gooch said to me, Dallas, you must remember that there's always enough good in people to cover up the bad. There's always enough good in people. So regardless, you have to look for the good, and then you have to bring the good out in everything. So when you're looking even at the garbage, you have to realize that that's going to become a compost, and it's going to be fertilizer, and flowers are going to come out of that, instead of just saying, oh, it's nothing but garbage, and the heck with it. So that's what this teaching is, and that's what Back to Basics was all about. To bring you up to, or back to basics, I would imagine I have to say back to basics. Because there's so many books out there, there are so many churches out there now, there are so many things out there, and there's so many people talking about this, that, and the other thing. We get completely off track. We get completely off track instead of staying right with the basics and so forth. And then we think there's a formula, and we think that there's this and that and the other thing, and there's no formula to this. It's done with your mind and with your thinking, and what are you thinking about? You have to remember what you're thinking about, you're going to bring about, regardless if it's good, bad, or whatever it is, it's going to. Because this thing called God does not qualify things. God doesn't know the difference between big and small. God just does things, and does things for you, and you have to remember that in your life. So that's what metaphysics is about. And then what I wanted to do in this month was, you don't need all these trappings and so forth. You don't need all this kind of stuff. You know, there's no secret formula. You know, I often tell you, people say, oh, well, how do you do a treatment? And, oh, well, then we have 7 steps, or we have 5 steps. You don't have to have any of that. Those 5 and 7 steps are just there to clarify your mind, to get you into an orderly fashion of thinking. After that, you can do anything you want. But there's no formula to this thing called God or this thing called manifesting and so forth. Everyone is going to do it their own way, their own individual way. But if you have faith that this thing called God is always taking care of you, and you keep remembering that, then this thing called God is always going to be taking care of you. Always going to be taking care of you. So these are the things that you want to remember. Okay? So Andy, would you say, I am God in action?
I am God in action.
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 And I am God in action. The only way that God can do anything on this plane of action is through us. So when you're looking at your own hands, these are the hands of God. What do you want to do with these hands? This is the mind of God that you're thinking with. What do you do? What do you want to do with that mind? It's up to us. It's a choice. Very simple teaching. Very simple teaching. Everyone wants to make it so complicated and so mysterious and all that. There's no mystery to it, and it's absolutely simplistic. And if you read Ernest Holmes' book, which is, I would tell you, is very difficult to understand sometimes, he wanted to make it simple. He never said that this was a religion. He never wanted churches at all. You see, it's a philosophy that somebody has made into a religion. But he never wanted to do this. His followers did this. The same way Jesus never wanted churches and religion and so forth. His followers wanted all that. So then we get off track with all this stuff, and we start to think differently, and we start to turn ourselves right into a church. Many metaphysical churches, you might as well be in a Catholic church or a Protestant church of some sort. Because they've just turned it right back into a religion, right back into something that you have to attend, you have to do this, you have to do that, you blah, 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 blah. You don't have to do anything but control your own mind, control your own thinking. And that's what this is all about. Although this teaching is completely God-oriented, It's about controlling your mind. It's about controlling your thoughts. It's about being able to think what you want to think and what you want to think about yourself. You see, that's why I teach you have to be worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. Now, with all that said, and we're opening up now to questions, you know, this is the last Thursday of the month, and it's questions and answers. So, if you have questions,
we try.
We try. Knock it down with a hammer. We never could get that thing to shut up. So anyway, we're open for questions.
I don't know, but I'm always...
You're always full?
No compliments.
Oh. Well, that's a nice one. But you don't have no question?
Oh, shit.
I have a question. So, as you know, I screened my movie. And other than getting the movie ready, you know, finish, you know, polishing it up with the things, little things I have to do to it, I don't really know what the next steps are as far as, like, and, you know, like, attracting in. I mean, I know metaphysically attracting in, but, like, I could probably use some help in understanding how to put my mind in the position to draw in what I need next to provide something for it.
All right, when you're in a situation like that, and that's most people are in that situation, then you move your ego out of the way and you absolutely affirm, I do not know what I am doing. I do not know what the next move is, but I know you do, God, so do this for me. And then you open up your whole mind and so forth for every opportunity that's going to come, because what you're seeking is always seeking you. And you must make room for that, and you must start to affirm, everything is coming to me. Then the phone will ring and somebody will say, here's your next step here. I can do this for you. I can give you this. And the next person will tell you something else, and it will just all fall together. But you have to remember that once you have an idea like you and you've gotten this far, it cannot fall apart. It cannot fall apart. You didn't get this far, and now God's going to just throw you in the dumpster. You say. So you have to have that faith, and you have to say, I don't know how to do this, but I know God does. And then you'll be going down a street, you'll be going someplace, somebody will mention something, and it'll be there for you, your next step. Does that make sense to you? That's all. I never, you know, I always, I'm telling my, I don't know what I'm doing. But I know you do, God, so do it for me. And God does things for me. Or whatever you want to call it, remember. It's not, you can call it Henry, Harry, anything. I just know that there's something bigger than I am that is operating in as and through me, and that it's helping me in every way it can. Say, I'm not at a loss, ever, you say. Never at a loss. And it just becomes mystical and magical. So, do that. Okay. Open yourself. And get that, you know, your wife loves it. Get your bloated nothingness out of the way. That's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Question?
I didn't think of one yet.
Oh, okay. Well, think of one. Must be something you might need to know.
It would be more of just a comment.
Okay.
Through all these months that I haven't been coming to the class, the thing that I've been consistently doing is consistently being happy and consistently refraining the I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter.
Yes.
And that has actually been the only thing that has allowed me to get to this point right, where I became clear about what I wanted to do and what I needed to do so that I could continue to have things in my life and be able to be at peace with what I'm doing.
Yes.
So it was, those were the only things. Because I didn't go out and like you know, I didn't all of a sudden have all this money come in my pocket and nothing happened here where all this, you know, somebody offered me a job or whatever. It was never any of that stuff. It was just that consistency with waking up every day and being happy and not being concerned about where was I going to get money for gas for the car, or where was I going to be able to make the insurance payment for the car or whatever. It was never any of that. All that stuff worked itself out, or I found a way to adjust it to make it happen.
Yes.
And it was just, I don't know, this past week it just, something just clicked and I said, wow, this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to do this, and I felt good about it and I was able to move forward without being hesitant about it. Because I always found in the past if I hesitated and calculated too much about doing something, and if I did get involved with it, I would always fail in it.
Yes.
Because of all those things that I set up in the beginning that were like, you know, a shaky bridge, if you want to say. So, just...
That's wonderful, and that's what this teaching should teach everybody, and that's what every metaphysical church should be doing. They should be teaching people that they are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. If a church is not doing that, it is not serving you. And I know tons of Protestant churches and tons of brand-name churches out there that never bother to tell you that. They want you to honor God. They want you to worship God. They want you to tell you how great and mighty God is. You must realize that God is useful, and God can only do something that God can do through you. And if you think that you're not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, God is not going to do much for you. God can't, because it's that consciousness. Remember that idea when I talked on that? This was Paula. You can't use the word loss. If you say something is lost, the universe is not going to say, oh, you're wrong, I can find it. You see? Because it has to work through your consciousness. See? Everything is working through your consciousness. Not through the consciousness of God, but through your consciousness. Now, we're trying to get the consciousness of God working, you see. But we have to expand our consciousness. That's why we have this, you have to have a solid concept of yourself, a solid concept of what's going on, knowing that you're being taken care of, knowing that you have these qualities inside of you that you can use, you see. And then, remember, I always tell you that money and all that are just side effects of your consciousness. Once you remember that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, things will come to you. Years ago, I told the story about two young kids who were in a new town, and their mother sent them to a church that was nearby. And when they came, it was happened to be a metaphysical church. When they came home, the mother said, well, what did you learn? And the little children said, oh, we learned wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. And the mother said, well, you can't go back to that church. Because the churches do not want you to know that you're wonderful. And usually parents and stuff do not want their kids because they think they're going to get conceited. And no one else is doing that. The world is not telling that you're wonderful. You have to know that you're wonderful. If you're starting to become God, God's starting to become you, there has to be wonder in there. And you have to become wonderful about it. You see. The other thing, and you missed this, which is one of the things, and it was on a church, by the way, the signs of what they're doing, and it said, do not work harder than God. And you see, when you stop working harder than God, then God will work for you. But we think we have to figure everything out. We think we have to be this, that, and do this. No. Don't work harder than God. Be yourself. Learn to love yourself. It's all in loving yourself. It's when any time you can love yourself, things will happen for you. Wonderful things will happen for you. Because it's this thing called God is love also. And that's in your consciousness again. And this thing has to operate through this consciousness. If you have a consciousness of hate, it's not going to work, you see. So you have to, that's your choice to change that. But if you're going any place that you're not absolutely respected, and that you're not absolutely, they're not teaching you how wonderful you are, how magnificent you are, then don't go there anymore. You see, you can learn all the things you want about God. Look at all the Christians who know every verse in the Bible, and then the most miserable people you ever wanted to meet, because no one ever told them that they were wonderful. No one ever told them that they were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they mattered. So it doesn't matter how many verses you learn in the Bible, and you can read the Bible from one end to the other, but if you don't like yourself while you're doing it and learn to love yourself, this world is going to look awful to you. And you're going to have an awful experience here.
Is that why some of them aren't so kind, too?
Well, of course they're not kind.
Yeah,
yes. Oh, no. They're not kind, and you must learn to be that. We're all in this together, and you must learn. You must learn. But the world doesn't teach that. Most of us didn't grow up in a home where their parents didn't say to you every morning, "Oh, you magnificent human being, you! I'm so glad you're here." Did they? They know. They said, "Get dressed. You're late. Get up. Get it. Do this." Didn't they? Yeah. And so this is to greet your children. Your children are turning out wonderfully well. But you're loving them, and you're teaching them to love themselves and to respect themselves and to know things. And that's what we have to. If we don't do it, if we didn't get it as children, now we know that we can do that. But we flock to these different things and so forth, these different organizations, because we think, oh, they have the answer. No organization has the answer. You have the answer. And you have the answer to your own life. You know, you can go to any church, I don't care, or any metaphysical thing or anything, but they don't have the answer. They have information, and that's all they have. See, so you have discovered something, and once you discovered that, then you saw your life started to be easier and things started to come to you, because everything is out there waiting for you.
Yeah, it's strange, everything got easier.
Yes,
you know, relation with my wife.
Yes,
conversation with
yes.
other people in my family
yes.
who think what? Otherwise of
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
It all became so smooth, and it was only because I realized it was because I changed. I don't know, some switch flipped in my head, but I realized I had to do it
yes.
in order to get to that. And then everything just became so easy. And I was
yeah.
like, wow.
Well,
what have I been doing for the last year or 18 months, or why was I making it so hard?
Yeah, well, and because the world doesn't teach that. Last week I told you there's only ever one lesson to learn. People say, oh, there's so many lessons to learn, and it takes so long. We have this. There's only ever one lesson to learn, and that lesson is love. And the love that we're talking about is loving yourself. You have to learn to love yourself. As soon as you learn to love yourself, things go smoothly for you.
Sometimes when you manifest a great change in your life, it sort of moves you off center, out of balance. How, as manifestors, can we, or can I, brace myself for change, or be more adaptive to change to be able to handle growth and good things coming into me?
Here again, the answer to that is always going to be love. You just said to keep loving yourself. And I teach people, I told you that story, you have to love yourself back to center. Here, if you stay in the center of your being, that is pure love. But what we do is we get off balance, and we get over this side or we get over that side. So when you're having a problem, you have to just sit down and love yourself back to center. As soon as you're back to center here, then everything changes. But open yourself always for something new, and especially for change. Because change is the only constant in this universe. Change is the only constant. If you people, that's why we get into trouble. We don't want things to change. Buddhists always talk about everything is impermanent. It's always changing. Look at the beautiful sand mandalas that they do and so forth. And as soon as they're finished, they take their hand and destroy it. They just destroy it. and start over again because it's change. Nothing is permanent. Nothing in this universe is permanent. We are changing, changing, changing as we sit here. And that's a wonderful affirmation, you know, to say to yourself every morning, I am changing, I'm changing, I'm changing now. And you've changed. You watch yourself change through your life. You know you're changing all the time. And why does that come in so handy to say, I'm changing, I'm changing, I'm changing now? Because you know things are changing. If you're stuck in some disease or something, you say, I'm changing, I'm changing, I'm changing now. But the world tells you, no, you have that disease and it's with you the rest of your life. It cannot be with you the rest of your life because you're always changing. But if your mind tells you it's there for good, it stays there for good. So you're always changing. That help you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I'm just thinking. I still have a little confused with my treating. I always get a little. Sometimes I'll say, you know, I desire, if I go to say want, no, I can't say that because that means I don't have it. And then I'll say, all right, I desire this. And I said, all right, let me just treat as if I already have it. And I'm not quite sure if that's the correct approach or not.
That is the correct approach. And it's one of the correct approaches. The reason why we watch one and desire and all those things is because
it gets a little taxing.
It gets horrible. But words structure thought. So, and then people want to analyze all of that stuff. Know that what you want is perfectly all right and that it's coming to you. And forget all that nonsense, because every time you start to analyze and so forth, now you're negating it and it's not going anyplace, you see. And you're learning the five. Did you learn five steps or seven?
Yeah, but I forgot them too.
Well, good. You have to forget those. You have to forget them and go out the window. This thing called God is intelligent. And if you talk to it intelligently and say, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I desire, and I have it right here and right now, and then let it come to you. The main thing in treating is we are not open and receptive to it. We do not open ourselves to it. We're waiting for it to come and then we're going to open ourselves. You have to be open now. And how do you do that? By saying, I am open and receptive right here and right now for the perfect thing to come into my life. I am open and receptive. My mind is prepared for it. You see? If you look at your mind as a field, now you have to till that field. You have to make that field ready for a harvest. And that's what you're doing. You're making your mind ready. And you're making your mind ready by saying, I'm open. I am receptive to this. And then it becomes fertile for you for it. Thing. But you worry too much as you're doing something wrong. You cannot do anything wrong. You see? So get rid of that idea that you're doing something wrong. That's left over from Catholicism. It's a residual thing. And all of us have that by the side. You don't have to be a Catholic to do that. I was a Lutheran. They certainly taught you that. Oh, you're not doing that right. Oh, you're not.
That's a stone throw from Catholicism.
Pardon?
It's a stone throw from Catholicism.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Is this, oh, I'm going to say, here comes Scott. Just in time, we're ready to answer your question.
Don't worry, you already yelled at me. You don't have to worry about it.
No questions.
You don't have any questions? Do you have any answers?
16
answers?
Just the answer, 16.
Okay, good.
What's the best way to stretch your consciousness?
Well, the best way to stretch your consciousness, what do you want to stretch it with?
I would like to hold more wealth.
Aha, so are you around wealthy people? Do you go in and out of banks? Do you have those money wrappers? Do you have coins around the house? Do you feel money all every day? Do you sleep with money near you? Do you fill up your red envelope?
Yes, no, yes, yes, no, no, yes.
You have to get interested in it. And then you have to see it coming to you. You have to have it around all the time. Go in and out of banks if you want to. You see? Find out about the stock market if you want to. You have to keep stretching to see what's going on there. Do you know the price of gold?
Yeah. I sold too soon. You know?
See, you should know the price of gold. It's about it was up to about 2,000.
No, it wasn't now.
It was. Well, it may have gone higher, but it was up to 2,000. Now, this is incredible.
But you have to have it.
Pardon?
You have to have the gold.
You have to have the gold, yeah. But you should know little things. I mean, that just helps your... Oh, I know what that's, you know, I know what that's worth. I know what money's worth. Did you get any of, did you go to the bank and ask for any money wrappers? You did? You have them at home?
Coins, coin wrappers.
No, not coin wrappers. I want to get, go in and ask for $1,000 wrappers. Okay. And 500 and 5,000. See how many you can get from them. They'll give them to you. They're free. Christ is just a piece of paper. I brought them once for everybody. How do you think I got them? I went to the bank and said, I want all these wrappers. Please give them to me. But that's how. Oh, yeah. But I gave them away so because most people never even knew that that money is wrapped. How can you be interested in money and so forth if you don't know that it's wrapped? You know? So get a money wrapper. And they'll give it to you, and then you'll see what a money wrapper is, and then use that in with your red envelope and fill up a money wrapper. Stay around different things. I haven't given you any copies of Architectural Digest lately. I love Architectural Digest because I look at the international sales in it. What are homes going for around the world? Then I also look at all the beautiful items that there are and the beautiful homes and so forth they are. That stretches my consciousness. You know? But if you don't know that stuff's out there, you can't. Did you go up and down Rodeo Drive? How many times have I told you to take a walk on Rodeo Drive? Go in and out. Go into Prada and pick up a pair of $25,000 shoes and say, oh my God, go into the jewelry stores and put on a watch that's worth $25,000 and put it on your arm and say, oh, isn't that lovely? Well, no, I'm going to the next. They'll treat you wonderfully well in all those stores, and then you get. How many people here have had a $25,000 watch on their arm? You say you have to. Just for, you don't have to buy it. But you have to know that that's available. That's how you stretch your prosperity consciousness. Go in and out of gorgeous hotels. Remember how I love hotels? Why do I love hotels?
They have good bathrooms.
They have the best bathrooms. They have the best bathrooms and I use them. Did you know them? I never go in a... Huh. I use this bathroom. This is the lowest bathroom I ever go to. No, when I'm out on the round, I go to a hotel always and use their bathroom. They have the most marvelous bathrooms. Ritz-Carlton's are my favorite, by the way. This stretches your consciousness. This, oh my goodness, I didn't know you have. Oh my, isn't this wonderful? And then do that, you know, and that'll stretch you. And you, it's just little things. See beauty everywhere. You know, see beauty everywhere. And then have beautiful things
and
around.
You get jealous because you can't have
No, you don't get jealous. You don't. But it's nice you have beautiful things. It's nice to have beautiful things. But you have to see beauty. You have to see all that. And you have to think that money. Do you do your affirmation? Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. How about I always pay my bills on or before time? And then you do that. But you have to keep looking. You have to keep stretching and seeing what's out there. You see? You can shop at Kmart, but you have to have a Neiman Marcus consciousness. Have you been in Neiman Marcus? But you go in Neiman Marcus. Just look around. Have you been in Tiffany's?
No. I'm not much of a shopper.
You're not doing it for shopping. You just ask me how do I stretch my consciousness.
Yes, I did. You're right.
Pardon?
Yes, I did. You're right.
Yes, then that's how you stretch your consciousness. You know? You stretch your consciousness that way. Otherwise, you know, and that's, please don't think that this is sounds snobby, because it probably does. But I never knew that K Jewelers was America's number one jeweler store. I've never been in a K Jewelers, but it comes on my television set telling me that K Jewelers is, and I think I wouldn't go in a K Jewelers if the world came to an end, you know. See, I would go to Tiffany's. I would go to Fred's. You see, I would go to Van Cleef & Arpels. Are you familiar with any of these names I'm spitting out? But they're the best jewelers in the world. See, do you know the best jewelers in the world? Tiffany's, Van Cleef & Arpels, Fred's. You know, no, so you have to know that.
Your cars.
It's like knowing your cars. You have to know that stuff. Yes. You don't have to buy there and all, but you have to know that that stuff exists. You know, do you know what a suite of jewelry is? Does anyone know what a suite of jewelry is?
No.
It's the necklace, the bracelet, the earrings, and the ring. It's everything. It's called a suite of jewelry. And Van Cleef & Arpels was made suites of jewelry all the time. Van Cleef & Arpels also designed a lot of jewelry for Wallace Simpson, Duchess of Windsor. Yeah, and they're collector's items. Elizabeth Taylor. Have you ever seen Elizabeth Taylor's jewelry? You could go to a bookstore and ask for Elizabeth Taylor's jewelry book. Look through there and see what this woman had and the collection and how beautiful they are. This is how you stretch your consciousness. Otherwise, you have no idea. You know, do you know what a ruby is, a sapphire, a diamond? You know those? Okay. It may sound funny to you, but this, you can't do it any other way. You can't do it any other way. And visit places that... have you been to San Simeon?
I don't know what that is.
San Simeon, it was William Randolph's Hearst home.
Oh, the Hearst Castle?
Yes.
What about Madonna?
Yeah, yes. But go see those places. See the wealth that this man had. Have you been to Marion Davis's home out on the ocean? Now, she had a house out there. It's not there anymore. Only part of it is there. The guest house is there. The guest house is magnificent.
The Getty.
the Getty, you could go to the Getty. But Marion Davis, back in 1924 or something, built a home on the ocean, right on the ocean there, for $3 million. Now, back then, $3 million was a gracious sum. I mean, this place was magnificent. They finally had to sell it for $600,000. And then they tore the thing down. But you have to know that there was that. She was an actress. You knew who Marion Davis. You don't know who she was? Well, not only was she a very famous actress here in Hollywood and made a lot of movies, and most of them were, they were comics. She was a comedian. But she was also William Randolph Hearst's lover. But she did. So that's the type of thing to look at. See those things. And that then that's why I've told you the story 100 times. Why don't people get out of the ghetto? Because they don't see anything else. They don't get out of the ghetto because they're in the ghetto. And that's all they see is the ghetto. So they have no idea. You know, they said that the Watts riots occurred simply because of television. The people in Watts started to see how people lived. Before that, they had no idea that all that stuff was... Other people had all that stuff. They didn't know it. So they just took it for granted. This is all life is. So if you don't get out and expose yourself, you think, oh, well, this is all life is. Make sense to you? How about, make sense to you? So you're going where? Tomorrow to Tiffany's? How about Cartier? Do you know Cartier's?
Yes. I have one.
A Cartier? I have a Cartier ring. Pardon?
I have a Cartier bracelet.
Yes. So, do you know what Tiffany's signature box is? What color?
Blue,
about like your jacket. How about Cartier?
Red.
You know though? Did you know that? Well, maybe those are not things that are helpful to you. But if they're not in your consciousness and you do not know them, then how can you get? You'll be shopping at Kay's Jewelry. Because the world tells you that Kay's is the number one jewelry store in America. Makes sense? And that's not being snobby. If you want to grow and stretch your consciousness, you have to know that stuff's out there.
In New York, I forgot when I went once, I wanted to buy something. I can't remember the name of the store. Was it
Saks?
One of the stores that had the most magnificent china. Who else was it? Maybe it
wasn't
Saks.
Oh.
I can't think of the name of it. I went in there at that time. I thought I had a lot of money. So I thought I was going to spend in the dollars or something. And all I could buy, I looked around, all I could buy is a plate,
yeah.
Which was on sale. But I can't think of
it. Wasn't Christoffel's, was it? No. But it here again, China. Do you know China?
Yeah.
How much expensive, you know, a place setting or a plate itself.
Was it Limoges?
Oh, Limoges.
Well, Limoges, yeah.
Well, that was the store.
Well,
no, that...
You went into the actual store that sold it.
Yeah, Limoges.
Yeah, Limoges, China. But that's how you build your consciousness, and that's how you build a prosperity consciousness. Why not? You also sit and do what Thomas did, and know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and you start to love and love and love yourself, and then things come into your life. And you don't need, once you get there, you realize now years ago, you thought that you had to have a Mercedes all the time.
I did for a while.
Well, you did for a while, but did it make, now that you don't, you're a different person? Did it change you? So you see, these things will not change you, but you have to know that they're there. You see, now some people who live on the outside of life, they buy the car because they need an ego fix of some sort. You see, we're not talking about that. We're talking about stretching your consciousness to, so that you see that there are other things available out there.
So Dallas, how do you get, when you have that consciousness and you just can't, you don't allow it to come into your life, how do you get your loaded nothingness out of the way to allow it to come in when you actually have that consciousness and yet it's not coming in because and you know it's you for whatever reason?
Because you live in fear.
Mm-hmm. Is that what the whole thing is? It's just fear? Oh, it's always fear then?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You live in
fear. Fear of what? Of what?
That you're going to get what you want, and then once you get what you want, then where are you going to go with that? And then what are people going to think, and especially your family? What's it? What is your family going to think?
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't worry about what people think.
Oh.
I would be just too happy with it, kind of, yeah. But when I had the Mercedes, I was always afraid of losing it, and I lost it. But that wasn't fear of what people thought, though.
No, but that was fear.
Yeah.
Most of us are afraid that we'll get what we want, and we're afraid of that. So all those wonderful things, and then the next thing, taking care of them and doing things, you see. Once you have a lot of things and a lot of money and so forth, people think, oh boy, life is blissful. No, you still have problems. You still have problems. You're just richer problems. That's all.
What happens when you have them and all of a sudden you don't have them anymore?
Once your consciousness is stretched, it cannot go back. Now, if you had that, you're going to get it again. It's going to come back to you, and you have to know that. You can't,
sure,
because God doesn't work backwards. God always moves forward. You see? It'll come back. You wait and see.
It will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting.
Yeah. It'll come back.
My time is
running
out.
No. Your time's not running out. Your time's not running out. But you do well, you know. You're doing all right. Yeah, I know so. Question here, young man?
Well, I have this consciousness of, like, superstition. Like, I don't want to think something's going to happen because then I think it won't happen, which goes against thinking that, knowing that things will happen.
Yes. But the world gave you that, and your family gave you that, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so... Do you want to be a puppet of your conditioning and turn into your parents?
No.
Well, then say to yourself, I'm giving that idea up. That idea is no longer serving me. You see? It's not serving you to have that idea. And you're intelligent. So when something's not serving you, you give it up.
It's also this fear of disappointment, though. That
you won't get it. Well, that's another thing that the race mind tells you that one, too. And that's your parents always say, don't hope for too much because you'll get disappointed. How many times have you heard that when you were a child? Don't hope for too much. I don't want you getting disappointed. Let's not get disappointed around here. You know, like, disappointment's the biggest thing in the world. This thing called God is never going to disappoint you. That's an impossibility for God to disappoint you. You can disappoint yourself. So this is what we mean by changing your consciousness and by changing your mind and thinking differently. So you put that out on the screen here and you look at it. Disappointment. If I think too much, it's going to go away. You see? Who's doing that thinking? Where did that thinking come from? You didn't think that originally. You accepted that from somebody else. That's called a mind virus. So now let's pull out the needle and we're going to inoculate you. We're going to give you a vaccine that goes away. Now this is how you use your mind. So tonight you visualize that and a big needle coming and sticking you. Oh, gone. I don't suffer from that mind virus anymore. You have to work on this. You have to become a witness to your own thinking. You have to realize that we're all puppets of our conditioning, and we have to stop being puppets of our conditioning. We're puppets of our conditioning, and that's why the world keeps repeating itself. That's why you keep repeating the same things that your parents did, because they were puppets. I think that puppet just keeps going. Just keeps going. So you have to cut that and say, this is not the kind of thinking I want. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. What thought would you like to think? I'm never going to be disappointed. What I think about, I'm going to bring about. Wouldn't you like to think those thoughts?
Sure.
Well, what's stopping you from thinking those thoughts? You, because you're thinking the other thought. You can only think one thought at a time, people. Which thought do you want to think? Now, the mind wants to tell you there's all that background noise and so forth and all these other... There's nothing back there. Mm-mm. Don't believe it. See, your mind's trying to convince you. But you learned that as a child. You learned that from your family, and you learned that from the world. You see? Don't think too much of yourself. That was another one. All and in my family, but who do you think you are? We're not the Rockefellers here. Well, yes, all those things. That's just all garbage. You see? So learn to think the thought that you want to think. And then start seeing yourself doing that. And you start seeing this movie and so forth. If this one, you know that you're in the business. Know that that was a very professional job that you did. Know that your next one's even going to be better, and that there are going to be more, and that you're going to make tons of money. What's going through your mind right now? That you're going to make tons of money? Okay. Yeah. That's how you stretch your consciousness, and that's how you operate in this world. Otherwise, what's the sense of it all? No sense to it. We're free agents. We're individualized expressions of this one mind called the mind of God, and we can use it the way we wish to use it. It boils down to, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. So you must always think you can. You must always think you can. I have a lawyer that's a client of mine, and I have to remind the lawyer all the time to argue with the mind like a lawyer before the court, and always make sure that you win. See, you must always win, and you let your mind win. You're not your mind. You know that, right? Okay. Your mind is yours to use. You know? So, don't put that in. It's only software. If you have software on your computer that you don't want, what do? You take it out, don't you? And you put new software in. But the hard drive is always the same, isn't it? You cannot change the hard drive. You can contaminate it sometimes, but you cannot change the hard drive. The hard drive is inside of you. At the very center of your being is this thing called God. And you cannot change that. But you can put in software telling you disappointment, all those things. That's merely software that's running. But the hard drive is staying the same. So get rid of that software. Just take it out of there. Delete, 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 delete. You have to know that, but you keep letting your mind convince you that it is you. You see? You think that that's absolutely your thought, that you'll be disappointed. It's not your thought. You heard that as a child. I know damn well that you did. And you accepted that as a truth. And it's not the truth. Now, you don't get all upset over your parents. You don't get all upset over yourself. You say, oh, thank you. I'll change that. Now, it'll take a moment to change because the mind always takes the road of least resistance and it always wants to go back in that direction. You have to keep knocking it till it goes where you want it to. That's how it's done. All right. More questions? It's 8 o'clock. Do you know next Monday we're meeting here? From now on, it's going to be Mondays at 7 o'clock here in this very room.
That's good.
Yes.
Is
this Monday?
Yeah.
It's better.
Back of it. Yes.
We're going to get your life back, I hope.
Yes, we will.
Paula?
Mm-hmm.
So. Anybody else? Let's remember to be worthy, deserving, totally level, won't we matter? Let's stretch this consciousness, and you stretch your consciousness by looking at different things. Go in a bank tomorrow and ask for money wrappers just to have them lying around. See? And then you'll know. You know. Go in and ask them what the mortgage rate is at the present moment. Do you know the mortgage rate at the present moment? If you wanted to buy a house, what would be the mortgage rate?
It's something percent.
Something percent. But you want a house. You want a home, don't you?
Hmm?
But how can you get a home if you don't know what the interest rates are?
Because you pay cash for it.
Well, that's one way to do it, but you should know. You know, just ask these questions. Oh, what is the interest rates going on? Some interest rates is down to 3%, by the way, now, which is unheard of.
How much?
3%. Yes. So, learn to think the thought that you want to think. And learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. And your life will be wonderful. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Love yourself. Love yourself. Love yourself. Love yourself. You hear that all your life. You've heard love is the answer. And it absolutely is. And the older I get, the more I realize that. The older I get, the more I realize that love is the answer to everything. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.